last Wednesday. I was invited to upstairs to Roger's house.
Yeah.
And Brother Dane gave his life to the Lord. And on
just let me
Friday.
Let me stop you 1 second so that they understand this. You were up at Lazarus' house, right?
Yeah.
And Brother Dane gave his life to the Lord, is what he said. Dane gave his heart to Jesus. So, yeah, praise God.
Then on Friday, I got to another Bible study, and a woman gave her life to the Lord.
Thank
on
you, Jesus.
Friday.
Amen.
Bless God for salvation. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, God. Alvin, why don't you tell us what's going on at Lazarus' house? Because I think that's important. You know, a long time ago, we began Lazarus' house thinking that this is such an important thing. We want to see a place where, in this case, where men can live. It's sort of a rooming house, but where they also learn some skills and they grow in community and hopefully they grow in their relationship with Jesus. And it's been a process. And I'll tell you, it's been a process. It's not an easy thing to do. But I'm just saying this right now, that what's happening at Lazarus' house lately, in the last little while, is exactly the vision that this started with 3 years ago. And we just want to see more of that. You speak to that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we have four guys in there. John Peterson, he's the house father. So we have three other guys that I've met off the street. I meet him downtown at the kitchen on various mornings or whatever. So I'm just asking the Lord, guide me, you know, and lead me. I want to bring people or men into Lazarus' house that have a desire to want to be disciple for Christ. Amen? So God has been doing that. He's been faithful. This particular fella, Dane, yeah, he hadn't given his heart to the Lord as of yet. But the guy just comes in there, and he's just a workhorse. He just came in there and started cleaning the place up and just wanted to see the place really clean and neat. And I'm all for that. And so anyway, we had a study here this past Wednesday in the Purple Book Bible study. And our brother was very forthright. And I would have waited probably till the next week or the month or whatever. This brother here just took it upon himself by the Spirit just to lead this man to the Lord.
Thank
Amen?
You, Jesus. Yeah.
And so we give praise and glory to Jesus Christ because he's the one that sees the hearts of men and women.
Exactly.
Hallelujah. You know, there's blindness that the enemy has imposed upon people's lives to keep us in darkness, in eternal darkness. And what I see in the city of Red Deer is people just being dragged into an eternal hell with chains and fetters around their neck and snares pulling them into an eternal hell. And they have no understanding of that. Their eyes have been blinded by the enemy. And so God desires to open up places like Lazarus' house, various other places to use to bring people into his kingdom. So we greatly encourage anybody and everybody. Our brother here, he's going around. Hey, get the word out there.
Right.
You know, we meet with Robert on Wednesday mornings. Yeah, that was Tuesday morning. Sorry, Arth. It was Wednesday morning. We meet down at the kitchen with Robert, Maggie May. I call her Maggie May. Most of you people probably know her by Maggie, Sherry, and Ryan, and various other ones. And I tell you, we had an awesome group here this past Wednesday, probably about 6-7 people.
Amen.
Our sister Sunny was there. But I tell you, God is doing something on the streets of Red Deer.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
He's the God of the city.
Yeah, just to be a part of that. And so my request to you and for you to pray for me that I want to impact people's lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't want to impact them to say, oh, yeah, you know, I met you or whatever. Nothing. I want them to meet Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's my purpose. That's my heart's cry there. Amen. Because he's the only one.
Yes.
He's the only one that can change our heart.
Hallelujah.
I was no different than any one of these guys. I was caught up in the snares of the enemy. The enemy had me, and he was taking me into an eternal hell, bound by alcohol. Bound by alcohol. Alcohol had me. Had me like that. And it just picked me up and drive me wherever. I would do anything for that because I'd lose focus of my will, and I'd do anything and everything, you know, to fulfill this heart, you know. But thanks be to God, Jesus Christ came into my life.
Yeah.
Set me free from those chains. And he can do the same thing for you guys, everyone here that's not, you know, if you're not a Christian, man alive, give your heart to Jesus today, because it's the best life. Hallelujah. Life going. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Would you give the microphone to Shade? I know, I'm putting you on the spot, but I really believe that God wants you to stand up and pray for what's going on in the world. Pray for what's going on in Nigeria. Pray for what's happening with people who are struggling. I'm sorry if I'm putting you on the spot. It doesn't need to be long. It just needs to come from your heart, sister.
I wanted to say something about Nigeria.
Yes, do that.
The other day we prayed, and, you know, it's still the same, but, you know, God answered the prayer in another way. Like, most churches now, every Saturday, they go out to win souls for Christ, and every Saturday, at least 2,000 people are converted to Christ. So, whatever it is that the people are doing, the terrorists, it's actually touching people's lives to convert to Christ.
Hallelujah.
So that is drawing more people to Christ, and I just want to give God praise for that.
Yes, God.
Then let us pray.
Let's pray.
In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Father, we thank you, God, for this hour. We thank you, God, for where two or three are gathered. You are here with us, O God. Father, we thank you, God, for your presence, O God, in the world. O God, we know that you're with every Christian, O God. Father, we thank you for every Christian worldwide, O God, in Iraq, in Nigeria, in Korea, anywhere there are Christians, even in China, O God. Mm-hmm. Father, Lord, we ask, O God, that by your Spirit that you're with them, O God. Father, Lord, we ask, O God, that you envelop them with your presence, O God.
Yeah.
Father, Lord, that comfort them in their hearts, O God. Father, Lord, strengthen them, O God, because trying times are coming. It's never going to stop, we know, Lord, because we know it is the end times. But, Lord, come and give us the strength, O God. Come and give us the enablement, O God, to stand firm in you. Mm-hmm. Father, Lord, we ask, O God, that even in Iraq, we lift up Iraq right now onto your hand concerning the Daesh or ISIS or whatever they are called.
Yes,
Father, Lord, we ask, O God, that by your Spirit, O God,
yes,
that you go forth to
Amen.
Iraq right now,
Amen.
O God. Father, Lord, for you are the Lord of hosts.
Yes,
you said, O God, that you have angels with you, O God. Father, Lord, by your Spirit, O God, Father, Lord, diffuse everything in Iraq right now in the name
yes,
of Jesus.
Jesus.
Father, Lord, we ask, O God, even concerning all the nations, all the coalition, O God, that are going there, O God, by your Spirit, help them, O God. The purpose, O God, is to stop them and to degrade them and to stop them entirely, O God. Father, Lord, let that purpose be fulfilled in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, Lord, let that purpose be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, as many that want to lift up their heads again, O God, Father, Lord, you will stop them still in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, we ask, O God, that let your Spirit go forth all over this earth, O God. Father, Lord, comfort as many as you can comfort, O God. Father, Lord, touch their hearts, O God. As many that want to come to Christ, O God, lead them to Christ, O God, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Father, Lord, we know the time is drawing near. Father, Lord, count us worthy, O God, to be with you at the end, in the name of Jesus. And as many that want to be with you, O God, grant them the grace, O God. Let your grace be poured forth unto every Christian right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we just give you praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
You say amen? Amen. 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 We got time for one more testimony. So, Leanne, okay. Can you grab the mic? There you go. Thank you, God. Boy, you know, that's so important that we pray for that. I'll get to you in just one second, but I want to just sort of reiterate what we were just praying about. This world, we're going through such a hard time. We started talking about this, you know, almost a year ago in our church, that this was going to happen, and it's just growing in, you know, in the ferociousness of it. The evil is growing. And things are happening that we could never predict. Like, almost as if they're determining to be as evil as possible, to do the most shocking things. And I so appreciate your prayer, and we need to be a church that's praying just like that. Man, that is so powerful. And to pray for justice, to pray for men who are evil to be brought to justice. It's okay to pray for that. To pray for protection for the innocent, to pray for those who are standing up for Christ, that that they'll be able to stand firm and that they'll be courageous to pray that God's kingdom will be advanced and that he will deliver us from the evil one. Amen? Now, Leanne.
I wanted to say that tomorrow I'm going to come to that class because I really need it. And I've been really struggling for a couple weeks and things at work and in my personal life and just been really attacked. And even this morning when I woke up, I got attacked with worrisome things. And I went and grabbed my devotional devotions in the Greek, and it was all about not fretting and being anxious for nothing. And I thought, God, it's perfect timing, even the worship this morning. And the scripture was, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And the devotional talked about God can't work in fretting and anxiety, but he can work in faith. And so I just gave him all my burdens this morning and just said, God, no, I want to walk by faith. And though we still have these struggles, that only God can really help us. And yeah, right. The world seems like such an ugly place, but it's if we keep our eyes on the Lord. And I've just been really trusting and in God to keep my eyes on him through struggles. And even at work, there's lots of things that aren't very healthy right now. And last week when we had the fundraiser, I just was thanking God for the good things. I just kept my eyes on him. Because if I thought about all the problems at work or in my life, I'd just be down. So I just kept thanking him for the good things. And then I just want to read the other scripture. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So I just pray for peace in your life and my life, and even during these times, God wants us to have that peace. So thanks for letting me share.
Amen. Amen. Mitch, would you just pray for the Word of God? We sang about that. We sang, let God's Word speak, right? So I need you to stand and put your hand on me, though. Would you do that? I need this, so. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord, that it's not by might nor by power, but by your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I just ask you right now to anoint Pastor Stan and the Word that you've put on his heart. And Lord, that you'd prepare our hearts to receive what you have for us this morning through Pastor Stan. Lord, we thank you that your peace surpasses all our understanding. And I thank you right now, Lord, for just letting your peace rest on Pastor Stan. Lord, take every burden off of his shoulders. And Lord, let your sweet anointing just flow through him right now. In Jesus' name, Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We open God's Word, and we do it because this is what we know to be true. And we know that God gave us His Word for that purpose. He wants us to learn. He says, here's what you need, and here's what you need to feed off of. This is the bread of life. So that's why we always spend a good part of our worship time. And hopefully what happens at this time is that we're just listening. This is a listening time. Worship is kind of like a dialogue. There's times when we talk. There's times when we pray. There's times when we praise God, and there's other times when we just sit and God's got something to say, and he does that through his word. We're going to read from Romans 6. We were reading that last week. We had baptism last Sunday, and we had a great time at the river, and there are some unbelievable things that happened. There are some people, that there's one person we baptized, and it was like it was just something supernatural happened. It almost picked him up and just slapped him into the water, and I know it sounds funny, but I've never experienced that before. And I said to Doug, did you do that? And he said, no, I didn't do that. He said to me, did you do that? I said, no, I didn't do that. but there was just a sense of the Spirit of God moving in the waters. And we could just feel the, I don't know, you feel the dirt and the grime and the old life get carried down the current. And we were reminded last week that the best analogy to baptism in the river is burial. That it's really a burial service. That's what we experience. And that's what it was. You get in the water, and then I said to some people as I baptized them, I said, look over your left shoulder. And they said, why? I said, because that's the old man going down the stream. And you don't need to worry about that old man anymore. But it's a burial. It's a burial service. Paul says that, don't you know that when you were baptized, you were baptized into his death. You were baptized into his death. That what it is it's a reminder, it's a physical reminder that the old is gone. That my old me is no longer there anymore. I'm buried. I am dead in Christ. I am buried with him in baptism. And I just got to say this too before I read this, but I know that there was a lot of attack happening this week. I was getting phone calls and texts on Monday. And believe me, you know, you're not the only ones. I had incredibly weird dreams on Sunday night, and dreams from stuff that I don't want to dream about. You know what I mean? Like, the enemy will find a way, and if he can't find a way to get you to actually do things, sometimes he'll work in your subconscious, or he'll bring back some memory or some dream or whatever. And I was crabby on Monday, and my wife knew it. And she said to me, well, do you realize that there's a huge attack going on right now? And I did not want to hear that. I just wanted to stay crabby. but it takes me a while to digest that. And I hate it when she's right. But I should get used to it. She's almost always right. And it's true. She hit the nail right on the head. You know, there was an attack. I think some people didn't even come to baptism because there was an attack going even before it happened. That's how the enemy works. The last thing he wants you to do is to bury your sins. The last thing he wants you to do is to be dead in Christ. The last thing he wants you to do is to get into that river and to make that proclamation that Jesus Christ is your Lord. And yet that's what we did. And we're going to stay on that. We're going to trust God. And as hard as that is, and even though there's going to be battles and there's going to be opposition and we're going to face, you know, different kinds of attack, that's why we gather together. I love this when we get together. I love hearing the encouragement. I need to hear that encouragement. I need to hear you telling me over and over again how real God is. He is the real God. He is the genuine article. I need to be reminded that he loves me. No matter what, he loves me. I need to be reminded that this is my Father's world, and he's in control of Nigeria and Iraq and of Syria and of whatever country we want to talk about. God is not surprised. God knows exactly what's going on, and he's in control because he's the only real Lord. He's the only real Lord. So we get together. We don't huddle together, but what we do is we just encourage each other. We say, this is the real living God. Serve him. Just be obedient. Serve him. Amen? Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. We want to spend a little more time in here. Just the whole idea of dying to our sins. What does that mean? What does it mean that you're dead to sin and that you're alive to Christ, or alive to God in Christ Jesus? I'm going to read Romans chapter 6, the first 14 verses. What shall we say then? Paul says. Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. Did you get that? We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Did you get that? We get to live a new life. You come out of that water, you can stand on that promise. I get to live a new life. The whole reason why this happens, the whole reason why I proclaim Christ and I get in the water and I'm buried with him in baptism is so that I get to live a new life. Amen. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. I'm going to say that again. It's going to be important today. We should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. Woo! Yeah. Death no longer has mastery over Jesus. The death He died to sin once and for all. But the life that He lives to God. Whew. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but you are under grace. Can you say amen? Wow. Like there's 37 sermons in here. We only got time for one today. But I want to focus on that whole idea that you are no longer a slave to sin. He says in verse 14, sin shall not be your master. You are no longer under the law, but you're under grace. And back in verse 7 when he says, we should no longer be slaves to sin because anyone who has died in Christ has been free from sin. You are free from sin. Do you realize that? Do you get that? You're free from sin. And I want to talk about that. I want God's Word to speak today. And I know there's always some bit of a dilemma in that, because we talk about being free from sin on the one hand, and the other hand we talk about how, oh, but we're sinners. You know, we're sinners, and we all start with sin, and there's sin in our lives. And you know, how do you deal with that? From the very beginning, after God created Adam and Eve, we hear right from the very beginning that there is a serpent in the garden. And the serpent is doing everything he can to try to entice Adam through Eve, or Adam and Eve. He's trying to entice them to do what? To sin. It's all he cares about. He just wants to see them fall. He wants to see them sin. And in the next chapter, after man falls into sin, we get the story of Cain and Abel. And in the story of Cain and Abel, God says to Cain, before the sin, before he kills his brother, you can read this. I'm not going to read it now, but in Genesis chapter 4, God actually comes to Cain, and he says, here's a warning. I got a warning for you, Cain, because I know what's on your heart, and I know that you want to kill your brother. And this is what God says to Cain. He says, Cain, sin is crouching at your door. Isn't that something? There's a metaphor, a picture, right? A word picture. Sin is crouching at your door, and it desires to have you. That's what God says to Cain. Sin is crouching at your door, and it desires to have you. Now get this. Then God says to Cain, but you must master it. You must master it. Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you. It's sneaky. It's sort of this picture of a lion or a bear or something, just trying to find a way to get his claws into your back, trying to find a way to bring death into your life or to cause you to sin, but you must master it. And the good news here, I'm just going to start with this, is that you can. You think about this. You can have mastery over sin through Jesus Christ, right? Amen? I mean, this is really good news. Maybe you came to church. You said, I come to church. I want to hear some good news today. Well, this is the heart of it. This is the very heart of the good news, is that you can have mastery over sin, not because you're so powerful or so strong or because you've got such determination or such amazing willpower, because you know what? None of that ever works. But you can have mastery over sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is what Paul's talking about when he says, I am no longer a slave to my sin. It no longer masters me. Right? That I am dead to my sin, is what he says. And I am alive to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Now, the question that we're always seem to be asking And to be honest with you, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this because I think we spend too much time on this question. And because I think the answer is really self-evident, is the question is, well, but do we still sin? And the answer to that is, yes, we still sin. Why are we always focusing on that? That is sort of a given. Yes, there is sin in our lives and sin that we battle. And Paul knows that, and he brings that up in verse 12. And he says, therefore, don't let your sin reign in your mortal body. Right? Don't let it reign in your mortal body. Yes, there is sin. So that you obey its evil desires. And don't offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness. So, yeah, we could talk about that all day. And as a matter of fact, I think theologically in the church, we have talked about that all day. We're always talking about original sin. So don't walk away from here today saying, well, you know, Pastor Stan doesn't believe that we're sinning anymore. All right, let's establish that. We know that we sin, but let's move on from there because we get stuck there. Right? We get stuck in that original sin. We get stuck in the things that we do that are wrong, and we don't move on to what Paul's really talking about here when he says that it's time for us to really be dead to our sin. I am dead to my sin, that old man is dead to me. He is down the stream. Here's the key thing. You want to hear this? The key thing is that sin is no longer my master. Right? It doesn't master me. I don't bow down to it anymore. And I am no longer defined. Listen to me. I am no longer defined by who I was. Right? Yeah. That's good news. All because of Jesus Christ. All because when I die, when I get buried, I am buried into His death. So you know what that means? It means that you're no longer defined by who you were or by the things that you've done. And that's a really important teaching because, let's be honest, we tend to define people all the time by their failings or by their sins. And even in the church, even Christians, surely the world does this, but I'm not sure that we're any different. Someone who lies, what do we call them? You're a liar. Someone who steps out on his wife and isn't faithful, we call them, well, you're an adulterer, right? Someone who steals, we put the label on them, well, you're a thief. It's so easy to do that, isn't it? It's so easy. We put a label on them, we put them in a cubbyhole or a pigeonhole, we say, well, you're an adulterer, you're a liar, and you know, you're this, you're an unforgiver. Well, the truth is, what the Bible says, is that I am not that anymore. I was that before Christ, before I repented, and that's really when we need to talk about sin, is prior to repentance. Anyone who has not accepted Christ, we need to be clear with them that they're sinners and that Christ and Christ alone can free them from that sin. But you know what? I am a new creation in Christ. Amen? Because of that, because I'm a new creation, I am not that old adulterer anymore. You can call me a liar, but Jesus doesn't call me a liar anymore. He says, you are brand new. And you have died to your old sin. You have died to your sin. You are no longer defined by it. The world might define you by it. The world might point their finger at you still. Or even in a church, that might happen sometimes. We point our finger at someone and say, well, you're just a drunk. Or you're just a liar. Or you're just a thief. But you know what? If you've got Christ in your heart, you live a brand new life. It's time we started living that brand new life. For I have been crucified with Christ. Hear me. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Yeah. And because he lives in me, I am no longer under the mastery of that sin anymore. None. I do not. Doesn't mean I don't struggle. We're not talking about that. That we've already established that. But sin is not my master. It says this probably four times in that passage we read, that you are no longer a slave. Just like Jesus wasn't a slave, that sin didn't have mastery over him, it does not master you either. It's time that we started living like free men and women. Not defined by our past. Not defined by the things we did wrong in the past. But defined by the blood of Jesus that says, you are, listen to this, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Wow. That's how God sees you. So, and you know, when he says this, he says, so we should therefore count ourselves dead to sin. And that's an important word. When he says that in the Greek language, we have to count ourselves. That word is the word legazomai, and that literally means that you are to acknowledge something that's already true. Okay? So you're just acknowledging something that's already true. I am dead in Christ. I am dead in Christ. I am not that old man anymore. It doesn't matter what people say about you or what they think about you. What matters is that what Christ has done for you. I'm trying to think of a good example of this. How do you describe this? How do you put this in a way that people can understand? So here's my visual example. How many of you have seen a juggler before? Oh, good, there's two of you. Let's try that again, okay? Woohoo! Anyone here? Okay. Remember, we're not dead, that kind of dead. We're supposed to be alive, okay? You're dead to your sins. Thank you. I've practiced juggling for years and years, and it's something I don't talk about a lot. I don't want to sort of flaunt it, you know. But you know, there's jugglers, and it's a real skill, and I'll show you in a minute. Is there anyone else here who's an accomplished juggler? Are you an accomplished juggler? Okay, come on up here a minute. Come on up here, Crystal, because this is the analogy, and I want you to see this. And we're talking about, the question is today: are you a juggler, or are you somebody who just occasionally drops the ball? Okay, so you know how to juggle? Okay, so I'll go first. Again, you know, I just got to... Oh, I haven't either, but... Oh, just a minute, that one went wrong. I can do better than that, honestly. Okay, pretty weak example of juggling. Show us how to juggle. Can you do that?
I could try.
Okay. You're not much better than me. They're not the same. I made it hard. Look at that. Woo! One more time. You should have stopped when you were still ahead. Okay, I'm giving you a break. Very good. Woohoo! Thanks, Crystal.
I haven't did it for a while.
You made me look like a... Yeah, I looked like a remedial juggler. Obviously, I don't know how to juggle, and I was, you know, making that up. But here's the point. The point is, are you a juggler? Right? I mean, someone who's a really good juggler, you know, you don't ask them, do you ever drop the ball? Of course they drop the ball sometimes, but they are jugglers and not people who occasionally drop the ball. You understand? So you are jugglers, is what God says in His Word. You don't need to focus on the time you drop the ball. We know you're going to drop the ball sometimes, but you're a juggler, and that means you have an identity. You are identified by something wholly new, you know? And it doesn't matter that you know, we should stop talking about ourselves. We don't talk about ourselves as jugglers. We talk about ourselves as people who drop the ball. You drop the ball. You know, God says, no, you're jugglers because I say you're jugglers. And if I say you're a juggler, you are a juggler because I've washed you in the blood of Jesus. Now, I could have used another example. I was thinking about bringing a 4x4. And put nails in it, big 5-inch or 6-inch spikes, and getting Rick and Alvin to come up with hammers. I was going to give one of them a 22-ounce hammer and the other one a 14-ounce hammer. I was going to say, okay, hit the nail. These guys are accomplished framers, okay? They are professional, you know, in their trades. And you know what? I mean, I've been around framers before, and they hit the nail hard, and they bam, 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 and it's down. And I have no doubt that, you know, both of them would have done just that. Hitting the nail on the head. The point is, they are They're framers. They're carpenters. They're not people who occasionally miss the nail. And that's the point today. You are not someone who occasionally misses the mark. You're not identified by that anymore. You are identified as someone who is a brand new creation. And you are to count yourselves dead to sin. I don't know if that analogy worked. Did anyone get that? Did that make any sense? Okay. You understand? Sure, we're going to drop the ball. But you know what the Bible says here? It does not say you are to count yourselves as someone who's continually in sin. It doesn't say that. It does not say count yourselves as someone who's continually in sin. No! Count yourselves as someone who is dead, it says. Count yourselves dead to sin. Consider you're dead. Consider that it's done. Consider that the work is done on the cross. Consider that you are a juggler or you're a master framer, whatever it is you want to say. You are a new creation in Christ. Right? And we spend way too much time pointing out, hey, you missed the nail. You missed that nail. I mean, you hit the nail about 47 times, but then you missed it. Right? We focus on the miss. Right? You don't need to worry. The bottom line is, the truth is, you don't need to worry about that miss. That's already been covered. Jesus knew about that a long time ago. That's why he died for you, right? So just start hitting the nail. Hit it hard. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Yeah. Count yourselves dead to sin. You know, we start. That means lift your head up. Lift your head up. Look God in the eyes. You can look him in the eyes because of the cross of Christ. He doesn't point his finger at you. Instead, he's got his arms out like this, saying, just come to me. But God, I'm such a failure, and everyone tells me I'm a failure, and I got all this original sin all over me. And God goes, you know, none of that surprises me. That's why I died for you. That's why I died for you. Count yourselves dead to sin. I am not that sinner anymore. I am not. I am not identified. I am not under the mastery of that sin. Sin is not my master. Just like God said to Cain, you must master it. He says to us the same thing. You know, in Corinthians, it says that God will never give us anything, any temptation that is beyond what we'll be able to stand or what we'll be able to stand against. God will never tempt you in a way where you go, oh, I couldn't help it. And it's time that we stop with the excuses. Because we're always talking about the excuses and why we did this wrong. And my dad was a drunk, and so I'm a drunk. And, you know, we always focus on what we haven't done. Listen, we focus on what we haven't done instead of what God has done for us in Christ. And that's good news, honestly. It is such good news that you can count yourselves dead to sin. And what's even better than that is that God counts you dead to sin. Because if that wasn't true, none of this would really matter. You know, we can count, you can consider anything you want. You can think of yourself one way or you can think of yourself the other way. But the good news is that it's God who thinks of you this way. He says, you are dead in sin. You are a brand new creation. You are no longer under, you're not under law. You're under grace. Amen? That's good news. Wow. But now, I just want to end on this. And that's, you know, you're either dead in your sins or you're dead to sin. And I am dead to sin. Yeah. But then the last thing, though, is just notice this, that when he says that we should consider or you should count yourselves dead to sin, there's a second part to this. And the second part is, he says, instead, you should count yourself alive. Alive to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. And man, that's so important, right? It's important that we consider ourselves or count ourselves dead to sin. But there's got to be something that reacts to that or something that fills that hole, you might say. And that something is this, that I also count myself, I'm alive. I'm dead to sin, but I'm alive to God through Christ Jesus. Amen? I am alive. I'm alive. I live. And you live, right? It's what Jesus did. He says, I'm going to give you life. I've come that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly. It's time that we start living. You know, I don't want to have to go around and keep checking whether you guys are alive or not. Right? This brother's alive. Right? And if we're going to be alive, it just seems to me that we should look alive. Is that asking too much? Right? I mean, you have been raised, according to Romans 6, you have been raised to newness of life, that the same resurrection of Christ is the resurrection that has raised you up. So look like it a little bit. Right? Just appear to be alive. I don't want to have to shake you to see if you're going to move or whether you're still breathing or not. We should be able to tell that we're breathing and that we're alive and that Christ is my Lord. Right? Sin's not my Lord. Christ is my Lord. Man, we got so much to thank God for. We got so much victory. Right? It's time. We got to start looking alive. There's a whole world of people looking dead. You know? You'd think that in the church, you know, we have every reason to live and to be alive and to shout the victory. You know, we should be doing that. And I know we don't all do that the same way. And I've had those conversations. And some of you said, well, I can't be like Joyce. You know, Joyce dances, and Joyce is Joyce. And I don't think you should be like Joyce. You should be like Sam, right? You should be like Kath. You should be like whoever you are. You don't need to be like Gertie. You need to be like you. But once in a while, just check and make sure that there's a pulse. Right? You need to be alive. Listen. You need to be alive, and you know whether you're alive or not. And some of us, let's be honest, some of that life has been breathing out of us. We're not living like we were before, right? Last week, talked about baptism, and just really hit me. You know, here are these people. They're being baptized. They're being drawn into the water, and they're coming. They're being raised to a new life. And I thought about myself. I thought, what about me? What about you, Stan? Am I living like the old man is really dead? And am I living with that joy and with that life that God gives me? Peter says that we have a joy that is inutterable and unexpressible. If you can answer the question today by saying, yeah, man, that's what I got, then you don't need to listen to this part of the sermon. Right? Because the reality is sometimes we don't live like we're really alive, or like we used to be alive. I'm just challenging you today. By the Word of God, by the reality of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that He is the Lord and He's the King, I'm challenging you to live accordingly. You can live accordingly. You have every reason to shout to God. You have every reason to live with every breath. With every breath to His glory. Right? We are not, this is not the Knights of Columbus. This is not Kinsmen. This is not the Curling Club. These are people here today who are belonging to Jesus Christ, who have been washed in His blood, and who are no longer condemned. And we should be jumping, and we should be a little bit alive because of that. Right? There you go. And you say, maybe you don't jump. Well, you don't have to jump. And maybe your joy and the way you express God is just by going, oh, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. Or you go home and you sing, how great thou art. I don't care. Do what you do. But be alive. And it should be visible, okay? It really ought to be visible. Because, and I'm not making this up, because we are to count ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen? I think I scared Joyce away, but just kidding. Can we pray? God, thank you. Thank you for your word. And we want to live as free men and women. We want to live in that absolute victory of Christ. And maybe that means we stop looking down our noses at things and we just start to take account and start to take inventory of what you have done and not what you haven't done. Thank you for the cross, and thank you for blood. Thank you for this church. Thank you for people who love us, love me, love each other. And Lord, even though we're far from perfect, you breathe new life in each of us. And I pray that we'll take your word to heart today. God, that we will count ourselves dead to sin. I'm no longer that sinner. Sin no longer has mastery over me. I'm not defined by who I was, but rather that I live now a new life, and I'm alive in God through Christ Jesus, my Lord. Amen. Amen. You agree with that? All right. Yeah. Stand up. What did he say? Okay. You know, this is not even related, but someone was telling me yesterday about a missionary. I'm trying to think of what her name is now. She's in the, you were telling me yesterday about this lady. You tell a story about, you told it about that they held a pop bottle to her throat. Heidi Baker. Heidi Baker, yeah, tell it.
Heidi Baker, I don't know if you know her, but she's a missionary in Africa. And she goes to the dumps on Tuesdays to get people saved and get the kids that are in there. And she said this guy came up to her with a broken piece of glass and held it to her jugular. And she says, just wait. Let me tell you about Jesus first, then you can kill me after. And by the end of it, he was saved and weeping on the ground.
Amen. Let's stand. We're going to worship with this last song.
Wonder of your cross will be our meditation. Gather in that shadow as the sun went down. Those who thought that you were leaving Jesus, a humble team that never wore an earthly crown. Steal away at night when they took down your body. With love and I'm my whole life, I'll lay down, and my whole life, I lay down.
Remember that you are dead to your sins. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Remember that they don't define you and that you are no longer a slave. You are no longer a slave to them anymore because of what Christ Jesus has done for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. God bless you. Walk in victory and look alive. Amen.
The wonder of the cross will be our meditation.